10A. You're in 10. Yeah, because we're just starting.
Amar Rav Yosef.
Amar Rav Yosef. Okay, we're going to go quickly. We learned it already. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, "Plainly, Rav Alonsek. If somebody testifies that somebody sodomized him, who the Acham is starving the holiday? Him and somebody else can combine as a second aid to aid him to kill the guy that did it to him." Okay, Reuven says Shimon sodomized me, right? So the din is Reuven can testify together with another aid against Shimon to kill him. What happens if he did it litzainet? What happens if the guy says he did it willingly to me? That means I was consensual. Rasha, who then Reuven is a Rasha, vateira amral toshes yad Rasha aid. Then a Rasha cannot be an aid. So Rav Yosef says like this: if it was against his will, so Reuven's not a Rasha. If he's not a Rashi, he can testify against Shimon together with another witness. But if he did it willingly, making him a Rasha, because he did an Aveda, then he's not allowed to. Tessa Midbeis. Rav, one second. Rav argues on it, says no. Reuven is not believed to make himself a Rasha. Rav Amar, Adam Karavetz Alatzmei, a person is related to himself. Therefore, a person does not have the ability to make himself a Rasha. So therefore, when Reuven says that Shimon did it to me willingly, on my part, he's not believed to say he did it willingly. So, because he's not believed. So therefore, the willing is out of court. And what happens is Reuven is testifying that Shimon did something wrong. So therefore, according to Rava, he would be believed and he could testify against Shimon together with another witness that he sodomized him. Okay? Amar Rava, Rava said, Pleni ba'al ishti. Okay? Now basically, before we go further, but we explained this why he started from this Gemara. The Gemara's conclusion is, L'cheira, if we believe him, here we're believing him on half of what he said, according to Rava. Rava said, Shimon sodomized me willingly. That means I was agreed to it. That means we're not taking his whole testimony. Rava says, you don't believe that he did it willingly, but you believe he did it. Right? That's what Rava is saying. You believe Shimon sodomized somebody. This that he said to me willingly, you don't believe him. So it's called what the Gemara is going to explain to you soon, it's called Palginin Dibure. You cut, this is where we finished last week. You cut the testimony of the witness in half. This that he said Shimon did an Aveda, sodomized him, we believe him. But this that he said Liritzaini, that we don't believe him.
This doesn't make sense.
You just disqualify him as a witness.
If it's a Rasha, you can't believe anything he says.
That's the Chiddush. We only don't believe him in the Rasha part.
Uh-huh.
We believe him. We'll see in the Gemara in a second. Now, Amar Rava, Rava says, top of the page, of Yud Amid Aleph. Pleni Baal Ishti, Reuven says, somebody, this guy, committed adultery with my wife. He, the husband, and another witness can testify against Shimon that he did it to Reuven's wife. But not to kill her. In other words, it's only lahargai, but not lahargav. Why? Now, normally, if a couple commits adultery, if a man and a married woman commit adultery, you kill them both. Correct?
Right.
Now, when the guy testifies, he's basically testifying against Reuven and his wife. Or Shimon, Reuven says, Shimon willingly lived with my wife. So basically, he's testifying that you killed them both. His wife committed adultery, and Shimon committed adultery. Yeah? Comes along Rav and says, no. We only believe him that Shimon committed adultery, but you don't kill, Reuven can't kill his wife.
Because
he's related. He's testifying against his wife, and she's a relative of his.
Whether it was consent.
But again, what are we saying? Palgina Dibure. Again, you split what he says. You believe Reuven that Shimon committed adultery, but not with his wife.
With his wife?
No, but not with his wife. If you believe that he did it with his wife, then you have to kill her too.
That being consensual and non-consensual has any consequences?
Only for her, not for him. So the Gemara says, one second, Maika Mash Malon, Falgina Dibura, what's Rava telling me? That you split his words, that the husband is believed to say the guy committed adultery, but not been right with not with my wife. Hainuach, that's the same case of the sodomizing story. What's the difference between the two cases? So Markumashmalan, okay. Hainuach. So the Gemara says like this. Mahu Tem, I would think Adam Kodav Eitzel Atzmei, a guy's only not able to testify against himself, Aval Eitzel Ishtei Lo Yamrinen. Maybe for his wife, he could testify as a being that she did something wrong. In other words, Rav's chiddush is that even with his wife, he's not believed, and therefore pogin in dibura. I would think he's only not believed for himself, because he's incriminating when the guy says the guy sodomized me, he's incriminating himself. Mm-hmm. Here he's incriminating his wife. So I would think maybe in that case he would be believed. So the Chibrava says no, even then Pagin in the Buddha. So Taisus over here says, Lochera, he's related to his wife. What's the... He can't testify against his wife. So what's the Gemara's answer? Love answer, I would think he's not related to his wife, and he could incriminate his wife.
No, the whole thing could then fall off.
Oh, so Taisa says what the Gemara means is, in this case, I would think different, because if he's believed to kill him, then he should be believed to kill her also. Because over here, he's not just testifying, Yud Amid Aleph on top. Because here he's testifying to kill the other guy too. That means if he's killing the other guy, I would think maybe you believe him for his wife too. So Rabbi says, no, you don't believe him for the wife.
But is that himself is two other individuals? It's not like this case of sodomizing or something.
But basically he's testifying against his wife that she committed adultery and therefore kill her.
Okay.
He's not believed to testify against his wife.
But
at the same time, he's believed to testify against the other guy.
For the monetary aspect of the case, he is...
But there's no monetary. Oh yeah, Ksuba is anyway
gone. The Gemara is talking about splitting the...
She is incriminated in terms of...
Yeah, she loses the Ksuba.
Basically talking about splitting the...
Testimony in half.
In a case where a husband accuses a newlywed wife that she wasn't a virgin when I married her, and they take him to court, if he says the truth, then, you know... But then, that's also... He's also related.
No, that's not as related, I guess.
No, but over
but
there.
But then we learned that you're gonna kill the guy if he proved that he was accused
wrongly. Yeah, but they're not married yet. He said she committed adultery before the marriage when she was only kedushin.
But at this time he's related.
Yeah, but he's testifying of something that happened before. It's a good point, but he's testifying of something that happened before.
Well, he's not related then.
That's why he could testify.
But right now he's testifying.
But by the way, excuse me, he's not testifying. To bring two witnesses. He's not testifying in that case.
If he does testify.
That's the Gemara. Then you have a shaila. Is he related to her or not related to her?
No, that's
the case of Reiki Shemra. The guy comes to Beis Din the next day and says, my wife's not a virgin, and she committed adultery, and he brings two other witnesses that she did it. It's not his testimony.
I'm saying, if it was his own testimony with somebody else, then what happens?
The shaila quoted of, he wouldn't be believed.
Oh, because it's still he's related?
Because yeah. Right now, when he's testifying, it's his wife.
Oh, yeah, it's after the fact.
After the marriage.
After the marriage. Before the marriage?
The shaila is when do they become not able to testify? Is it after Kedushin or after the Chazan?
Yes.
Okay, Amir Rava says another thing. Pleni Baal Naira Mirasam. A guy testifies that Reuven had relations with a Naira that had Kedushin. In other words, there's a girl that had Kedushin, and Reuven testifies that Shimon had relations with that girl. Vahuzmu, and then the witnesses are discredited. Okay, now, let's get the story straight. What did he want to do by testifying against the guy and the girl? He wanted to get him killed. Correct?
She's high of Mita after Kedushin?
Yeah. That's what Torah says. Because she's, for all practical purposes, she's a married woman, except she can't live with him until the chasana.
Kedushin is the point?
Kedushin is the point that makes her an Ashes Ish, as far as everybody else in the world is concerned. As far as her and her husband, she has to wait until the chuppah. And like we said, in time of the Gemara says in Ksubas, 12 months was between the Kedushin and the wedding. Now we do it all under the Chuppah. But as far as an Ashes Ish goes, as soon as she has Kedushin, she is an Ashes Ish for everybody else in the world. Okay? So now this guy testifies, not in his wife, he just testifies, yeah, that two Adam, by the way, say that this guy lived with this girl. Okay? And then Vahuzmo. And then they became Adam Zaymimin. Ne'erogim, they get killed. Ve'imishamin mam, but they don't have to pay. Why? Because they don't say which woman it was. Mm-hmm. In other words, if somebody accuses a girl after Kedushin to have relate that she had relations, correct? What's the demetzi shemra? In addition to getting killed, or if he's wrong, they have to pay the money. 100, 50, whatever it is, right? Now what happened over here? Two witnesses come and say, Reuven had relations with a girl after Kedushin, but they don't say who the girl is. They just testify that Reuven had relations with a married woman after Kedushin, right? They don't say who the woman is.
So they asked them, what's the big deal? They asked them?
They don't know, they don't remember, whatever. They don't know. Now, what do they want to do? They want to kill Reuven. Because that's what they testified. They testified that Reuven had relations with a girl after Kedushin. Correct?
What about the girl?
We don't know who the girl is.
Is this a valid case if you can't identify the other party?
Yes.
Yeah?
Huh. They don't know who she is. They don't know her name.
So how come this is not the case?
They saw it happen, but they don't know the name.
They don't know the girl.
They said she had black hair
or
blonde hair.
They don't know the girl.
There's only one girl in the world with black hair or blonde hair? Maybe she went and dyed it?
How did they know she was...
Maybe she put on a shaitel.
I don't know she's married if they don't know her.
How? They know. This is what happened. Okay, what's the difference? How they know? They know it was with a girl, but they can't identify the girl. So what do they want to do? They want Reuven to get killed. Correct? Yeah? Okay. Now they became Adam Zaymimin. So what do you do to... Now, what ideally do you want to do? What you want to do is get the witnesses killed. But now that the witnesses are wrong... And there's no proof that Reuven lived with this girl. So Reuven has to pay this girl the money for embarrassment because he lied. Right. First he testified he did it. But if he didn't do it, then he has to pay the $100. Right? Now, the Adam became Adam Zaymimin, which means Reuven didn't do it. But they wanted to kill Reuven. So you kill them, but they don't pay money. Why? Who are they going to pay to?
And also you're giving the...
In that case,
punishment.
They can't pay because we don't know who to pay for. Huh?
You're giving the bigger punishment, so anyways, they don't...
No, but there's two different people we learned before.
They are happy.
The Gemara said before, it's two different people. Kim Le B'Rabine is only for the same person. Here it's money to one person and death for something else.
There is no circumstantial.
No circumstantial. But what happens if he says, Bite shall plainy vuhuzmu? What happens if they said with this particular girl? Then there's two things over here. There's money, but the Gemara says they don't have to pay money anyway. They do have to pay money. Why? Because mum and lezen nefashos lezen. Because the money goes to the girl's father. And this is on the girl. Or the killing is on the girl or on the boy. Right? But this, the money is to the father, because as Rashi says, the girl's under bas mitzvah. So then the killing is because of the girl, but the money goes to the father. If the girl would be 12 and a half, that she keeps her own money, then it's money and death to the same person. Then they would only get death and not pay money. But if you're talking about, where's Kava pay money? But if the girl's under bas mitzvah, mm-hmm. under 12 and a half for that matter, but the money would go to the father, mm-hmm. so if they're getting killed because of her, and the money is getting paid to the father, so it's two different things, then they would have to pay.
You know, how can you kill the egg when they don't know the now, they don't know the girl, the name of the girl.
No, because he...
Let me ask you a question. If two witnesses testify that Reuven killed somebody, but they don't know the guy's name, so they're not going to get killed because they can't identify the guy's name?
You put them in a row and they ask him which one was it.
That doesn't work like that in Torah.
This is different because...
One minute. Let me ask you a question. Somebody, two witnesses testify Reuven killed Shimon. But they don't know who Shimon is. They saw him kill somebody. Because you don't know who it is, therefore...
Therefore, it's not a case.
It's not a case? What are you talking about? If two witnesses see a guy kill somebody, they don't know who the guy that got killed, his name is, therefore they're not going to get killed? Why not? But they ask the guy where the murder took place, when, what time of the day. What's the difference who the guy is?
The thing is that over here is about Kiddushin. How do they know that if they don't know the name?
There is a known fact that this girl had Kiddushin, but we don't know who she is.
This is Kiddushin.
Avi, if you don't know she had Kiddushin, then the question is maybe she wasn't. We know the Gemara says that this girl was Nidum and also after Kedushin. How they know, it doesn't matter, but they know.
They had a different dress code and stuff.
They have seen the girl, but they don't know who the girl is. They have seen the girl.
And they know, it's known that this girl had Kedushin.
Yeah, that's exactly.
But you don't have to know the victim to be able to get punished or not. We know you. Yeah, if I don't know who the guy was, the name that was killed. No. The guy came from out of town, out of the country, whatever, that killed him.
We are under the impression that we didn't see that she was in the act. But she was.
They saw the act, but they don't know that they don't know her name.
Okay. The name.
And the same thing, the Gemara is going to say a different thing with an animal. Amr Rava says the same thing. Plainly Rava Asher, a certain person sodomized an ox. And now you have a relation with an animal. Yeah. So normally, you kill them. Right? You kill them because it's biblically forbidden.
Both of them.
The animal gets killed, not because the animal...
Why the animal is not fought?
The Rashi says in Chumash, because the animal didn't have free choice. The answer is, because somebody gets killed because of the animal... Rashi says in Mishpatim, that takol al yode, because the animal caused somebody to get killed, you kill the animal. Now, normally, or, by the way, one more point over here that Rashi, who brings on, the Mefarshim say that after the conviction with the girl, they found out who the girl was.
Even then you didn't kill?
No. Rav speaks a case where the identity became known as a result of the testimony.
Is that necessary? Is that a necessary part of the...
No, but that's only in the second part of Rav's din.
But is she going to get killed then once they know her?
No.
After the fact?
It's after the fact. Okay, now, what happens when a guy has relations with an animal, okay, so the guy gets killed, and the animal gets killed too. So now both would get killed.
And if you don't know
now when the witnesses get hazama, so that never happened. So they wanted to cause the owner of the ox to lose his ox. What did they say? Reuven had relations with an ox. So technically, now that they're liars, so Reuven never did it. So first of all, they wanted to kill innocent Reuven. Secondly, they wanted the ox to get killed, so they wanted the owner of the ox to lose money. The problem is, they don't know whose ox it is.
Doesn't matter, they're getting the bigger punishment.
One second. Neragin... So then they would get killed, the witnesses, because they wanted to kill Reuven, but they don't have to pay the money. Why? Because we don't know whose ox it is. Who are you going to pay money to?
And if you know.
1 minute. What happened if it was this particular ox that did it? Then they would get killed and they would pay money. Why? It's two different people again. They get killed because of the act they did, that Reuven was going to get killed, and the money goes to Yankel, who owns the ox.
But the
Gemara says, Hasulam li hainohach, l'cheret is the same din as he said before, with the Naira Marasa. Right? In the Naira Marasa, Rav said the din, if you don't know who the girl is, no money. If you know who the girl is, they pay money, because money is to the father, and the killing is because of the girl. Rav said the same thing with the animal. So the Gemara says, why does Rav need to say the exact same din twice? So the Gemara says, Mishim the Kaboy Baye Eluyim. Because Rav asked the Shaila about a different din in this point. Meaning like this. Boy, Rav asked the Shaila, Plainer Rav Asheri Mahu. If somebody testified, two witnesses testified. This guy had relations with my ox. Reuven, one witness, there's another witness, but Reuven testifies, Shimon had relations with my ox.
Are they related then?
The question is he related to his money?
Or to his ox?
It might be related, might be a brother.
If the ox belongs to Shimon, they don't pay, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of somebody else's ox, it was his own ox.
Reuven comes and says, Shimon had relations with my ox.
No, which?
With his Reuven, own ox.
With his own ox. Shimon had relations with the ox.
So then for sure he gets killed.
Yeah, and that doesn't have to pay.
Because it's one person.
And then who's Mu?
Yeah,
then he wouldn't pay.
Right. He would die.
Right, no.
Yeah, because in regards to that person, he's getting the...
Correct. Then that for sure. So the question is like this. What's Rava's question? Me amrin an adam karav etzel atzmi. That a person cannot testify against himself like we learned. But ain adam karav etzel mamein. But he's not related to his money. His axe is only his money. His property. Can a guy testify? He can't testify against himself. If the guy says the guy committed sodomy with me, we don't believe him, we said. Mm-hmm. But how about if a guy says, my money, is he related to his money or not? In other words, can a guy testify against his money? That's Rav's question.
In monetary
case? Dilma Amrinen, maybe we say, Adam Kadav Eitel Atzmi. Eitel Mamein, he's relative to his money too.
Before you said, if somebody comes and say, "I owe you money,"
yeah, in monetary cases,
that is obligating yourself in a loan or money.
What's the difference?
Here you're obligating him to pay.
No, we have it in Persian, Jewish, Polish.
Jewish version.
We have this case.
You
talk about it, we have expression.
Over here, the question is, is he believed to say that his ox was committed a sin with that guy? In other words, maybe the guy will get killed, but not the ox. Here you want to take away the ox from him. Is he believed to defend his ox? Or not to defend it? Or to on the contrary, to incriminate his ox. Here he's incriminating his ox. He said, Reuven committed adultery, whatever you call it, with my animal. So the question is, he believed to say that was his animal. It's not that I'm donating money. You're going to kill the animal.
If you're going to kill the cow.
So the question is a person, because an animal that committed adultery with a person, you kill the animal. But we said, because Rashi said, because something bad happened to a person because of the animal, you kill the animal. That's what the Gemara says.
There is no commercial use for the after the killing.
But let's just finish this. So Rava asks, is a person only not believed to testify against himself, but he can testify against his property? Because we learned before, against his wife he cannot testify, against himself he cannot testify. Can he testify against his money? That's the question. Basa the boy other pashta. After Rava asked the question, he answered it. Adam Karav Eitzel Atzmai, a person is related to himself, he cannot testify. But Ein Adam Karav Eitzel Mamayne. But he's not related to his money. So therefore, Jack Benny.
Yes.
Therefore, the din is, he could testify against his cow. So therefore, the Gemara asks, why is Rav saying a case of a cow different? Because I would think property is different because the person is not related to the property.
Actually, more related.
Violent Gemara. It's violent Gemara. This was common stuff in those days.
I'm puzzled. We learn in several occasions that a person who commits something, he gets the bigger punishment only. But here, he gets killed in the face.
The question is what? Getting killed for one person, or he's paying to another person? Like by the case of the girl and the father, when he says she committed adultery, he's basically saying the girl should get killed. But who's getting the money? The father. That's a different person. If the money and the punishment is to the same person, I'll give you an example. The case in the Gemara, somebody burns down somebody's house on Shabbos. So normally if I burn down your house on Monday, I have to pay all the damages of the burning, right? What happens if I do it on Shabbos? Where simultaneously I'm desecrating Shabbos and the house is getting burnt. So then I get killed and I don't pay. Why don't I pay? Because I'm getting killed because of you. And I have to pay you. So because it's the same person, I get the worst of the punishments. But if one thing of killing is to one person, and the money has to go to somebody else.
So if the one house is owned by someone else, no, still the same.
The house would be owned by partners.
To the bank.
Say, that might be a difference.
So he doesn't have to pay for the house? If
he's really angry at somebody, do it on Shabbos.
What do we consider? What is the consideration? The guy or the person who's doing the sin? The person who's doing the sin or the recipient? Or recipient.
As far as what?
As far as the being Mashal and the punishment.
It's a chiv on the person.
Chiv on the person?
Chiv on the person.
So then it shouldn't matter if it's being done to one person too.
No, but that's the Chiddush. Kimle b'drabimine is only, Gemara said, when it's to the same person, not to a different person.
If the house is mortgaged by the bank, who is the owner?
The owner is the bank. Or partnership. Depends how much of the mortgage you paid already.
No, but the person is the owner.
He's responsible.
Owner is the owner.
Alpidin, there's a, in Chesh Mishpat, there's this din, I remember from Yeshiva days. There's a din that karka that was bought, let's say, for $1,000, land, not money, not tangible items. Land that was bought for $100, yeah? $1,000. Once I pay you $1, the whole house is mine, it's only a chayv. In other words, the money acquired the whole house. But I owe you the money. It's not the pshat, it's your house. So even with a mortgage, you put down some money. So that's your kind of the house that way. A lot depends on what the law of the land is, by the way. Din machuz din in these monetary issues. But just taking in Torah, if I buy a house for $1,000,000 and I put down $100,000, yeah, you're not going to get a loan, but let's say you put down $100,000, and then you have a mortgage, but the prayer, you acquired the whole house. You owe the bank money. See, in civil law, the bank owns the house.
Right.
You don't get the deed until you pay up the mortgage.
Yep.
But otherwise, in Torah law, it's yours.
Because you sign...
Because you're kind of the house with money. Even if you don't pay the whole value of the money, but you're kind of the house anyway. Okay, Vaita. Next piece of Gemara. Makis B'Shleisha. Gemara says... In the Mishnah it says that in order to give somebody Malkus, you need three judges. That's what the Mishnah said, right? It's not capital punishment, so you don't need 23, you need three. Gemara says, Minohani Mili, how do I know that for Malkus you need three judges? Amir Avona says, Amikra, because the Pasuk says, Ushvatum, they should judge, plural, by Malkus. The Torah uses the word Ushvatum, they should judge. Shnayim is two, right? So there's two judges. Now, you can't have an equal amount in Bezdin. Can't have even amount in Bezdin, because it might be one against one. Vein Bezdin Shokul. You can't have an even amount of judges. Therefore, Mesifim Aleim Eid Echad, Aleim Kan Shleish. Eid Echad. You have one more, and therefore it's three. So Gemara says, how do you know you need three? Because the Torah says, Shvatum, which is plural, which means two. You can't have a Bezdin of two, so you have three. Elamiyato. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, you should need more. Why? Vitztiku, The Torah says, "V'itzdikos a tzaddik, v'yeshivos a rasha." Yeah. So it says like this: two people will make the person innocent, v'yeshivos a rasha, or they should convict him. So the Torah says, two shall exonerate the person or make him innocent, and two will make him guilty. That's two and two is four, right? And then it says ushvatum, which is another two. So l'chere, you should need seven. Mm-hmm. Verse says like this: you're telling me you need three because it says ushvatum about the court, right? It's two. You can't have two. You need three. So Verse said, but there's two more words, plural, about the judges. V'itzdiku, v'hirshiu. So each one is two. Should be 2, 4, 6, plus one more to make it an uneven bezin. Harikan shiva l'chere, you should need seven judges to make a guy give him malchus.
You have similar to this.
So Gemara says no; those words are not extra. Hi, mi boy leikadula. With this is those two words vitzdiku vehushiu are used for something else. So they can be used to teach us how many judges you need. Why? Damer ula remez edim zemim min ateira minayin. How do I know there's a concept of edim zemim from the Teda? So while the Gemara is in the middle of Ula's statement, right away Gemara says, what do you mean, Ramez Eidim Zayim? Ksiv Kashe Zomam. It says in the Torah clearly there's a concept of Eidim Zayim. What's Ula's question? How do you know Eidim Zayim in the Torah? It says clearly in the Torah, Eidim Zayim. He said, no, his question was, El Ramez Eidim Zayim min HaTorah Shaleke Minayim. How do I know Eidim Zayim get Malkus? Meaning like this. What happens if they testify something that you can't do to them?
What do you mean?
They testified that somebody did something wrong. Huh? Yeah? But you can't do to them what they wanted to do to the person. For instance, a Kohen, the first Mishnah Makkos, they testify a Kohen married a Gerusha. He said, we saw on this and this date, a Kohen marry a Grusha. That's a negative commandment. Now, what do they want? They
want the Kohen to be disqualified.
Okay, well, no, one second.
That he should divorce him.
But they're not a Kohen.
Married,
huh? If they're not a Kohen.
They don't need a rabbi.
No, I'm saying. No, what is the case? They say that this guy is not a kosher Kohen. They say he's not a kosher Kohen. He testified he's not a kosher Kohen. Okay? Now, they became disqualified. What do you do to them? Make them a non-kosher Kohen?
You can. So is it monetary?
No. So the question, what do you do to them?
They should pay monetary.
Adam Zayim, what do you do to them? So Ra'ul is saying, how they get Malkus. And that Rav is asking, Ra'ul is asking, how do I know that by a case of Adam Zayim, where you can't do to the witnesses what they want to do, because their testimony is the first Mishnah Makkos. They're saying this guy is Ben Gurusha Ben Chalutza. They're testifying this guy Reuven, who's saying he's a Kohen, is not a kosher Kohen.
Because
because his mother was a divorcee. Yeah? So now the Edom became disqualified. What do you do to them? Disqualify them from being a Kohen? They're not a Kohen anyway. So what do you do, Ula says? You give him Malkus. Ula says, where do we see in the Torah that they get Malkus? Maybe they get off the hook. You can do something to them good. You can't. They're off the hook. How do we know, Ula says, that they get Malkus? So he says, Chassid, because it says, V'itzdikos ha-tzadik, the Pasuk says like this, they make the tzadik righteous, and they Yeshua said Hashem. Okay?
Now, can you disqualify a Kohen?
If they testify he's not a kosher Kohen, yeah?
You can disqualify, say you're not a Kohen?
If he's not.
Yeah. They do that today, by the way.
They do today?
In today's world, if a Kohen wants to marry a divorcee, what do you do?
Purposely you disqualify?
You need people to do it. Somehow show that this person's mother was on college campus and she was fooling around with Goyim, and therefore she's not kosher to marry a Kohen. So when she married her husband, who was a Kohen, the kid's not a Kohen. But you need big rabbanim to deal with this.
They fabricate.
Okay, one second.
Is it truth?
Now, with tzdikus a tzaddik, so the Gemara says like this. The pasuk says you make the tzaddik good and you make the rasha bad. So the Gemara says, what's the connection between the two? It says, mishum tzdikus a tzaddik, because they justify the tzaddik, that's why the yeshiva is a rasha. Just because he's good doesn't mean this guy's bad. V'hayim bin hakeis, and then it says you give him malchus. So Rav Ullah says like this. This is what the pasuk means. What's the case? Eidim sheyeshua is a tzaddik. The case is, what does pasuk mean? Eidim that made the tzaddik, the innocent person, guilty. Witnesses came and made an innocent person guilty. How do we know it's an innocent person? Because of all the eidim zaymim, eidi achrina, second eidim came and disqualified the first witnesses, right? So therefore, v'tzdikos atzadik demikara. So now, what does it mean, v'tzdikos atzadik? Uli learned like this. This is what the Torah means. They justify the tzadik. What does that mean? Because there were people that made the tzadik into a rasha. Eidim said the guy's a rasha. Then other witnesses came and disqualified the first witnesses. Right? So what are they doing? They're saying the first guy was really good. Right? Because the witnesses are liars. So that's what it means. V'tzdiku es tzadik. Bezdin justifies the guy who is really a tzadik, but the witnesses made him into a rasha. And when that happens, v'hoyim bin hakeis rasha, you give the witnesses malchus. So what Ul is saying, what the Gemara is saying over here is that the pasuk v'tzdiku v'hishiu is used for another din to tell us that Adam Zaymimin, if you can't do to them what they wanted to do to the guy, then you give him malchus. So therefore, one second, the only extra pasuk left is ushvatum, which means two. You can't have two, so you need to add. But the other two psukim, v'tzdiku v'yeshiu, you can't use to teach us another four, because they're used for something else.
V'yeshiu sarasha means you punish the Russian.
Yeah. Why? Who says Malchus?
So they use seven or three now.
Because right away the Torah said, "Ohayim bin hakeisir." In same Malchus.
Did these cases happen?
Or
did
should they happen?
Then if three people are sitting and somebody comes and says lashon hara by the tzaddik, that's
considered. Is it juicy?
Yeah. If it's lashon hara, it must be juicy.
Yeah.
that's the case. That's.
No.
Three people are sitting.
So, what are they doing to the guy?
The Lashon is a tzaddik. Doesn't mean the guy is real tzaddik.
No. In this case, he's innocent. He's really innocent because the first witnesses that testified against him are liars.
Right, so is the guy who's sitting in Lashon Hara.
Is that a question of Lashon Hara?
Somebody's sitting and trashing somebody else. What do you do? That's what he's at. That's what you're asking.
Right.
So you listen. If it's enjoyable, you listen. If it's boring, you walk away.
We do that anyway.
So now the Gemara asks a very interesting question. Why? So Ullah made a whole thing over here to tell us that Adam Zaymimin get Malchus, right? The Gemara says, why do I need all this? There's a negative pasuk that says you can't testify falsely. So it's a lav. Why can't they get malchus just because they transgressed the lav that says you're not allowed to testify falsely? So the Gemara says, "Mishum dahava lav she'ein be'maisa." It's not an action; it's only verbal. Okay, v'chol lav she'ein be'maisa. Any lav that doesn't have action. Ain like in all of you can't get malchus. In other words, here there's a chiddush. Sometimes the Gemara says Hakim is fasif have a ma'aser. Sometimes it is an action. Sometimes it's not an action. The Gemara is saying testifying falsely is a lav that has no action.
How about testifying if it's not false?
Do we have a rule that you're not allowed to testify against another Jew? Why would they even come to testify to have somebody killed? Is it a mitzvah to come and testify?
Yeah, but if you're saying the truth, not if you're lying.
What if it's a mitzvah? So what if you don't want to do that mitzvah? Is it okay or not okay?
No, if you don't testify when you know, you get a sin. But you don't get malchus for it.
So if there's no malchus, what's the benefit of it? Why do we have it?
So what, no, so what Mar says, that love is ein bei maise.
So what good is that love? What is... We learn it from here. If we learn it from here, why do we need that?
That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara answers, that pasuk itself is a love that has no action. Here, like it says, here there's a pasuk. Here, Rashi says, because it says, "Imlay sishmal asis v'ifla Hashem." We only learn, okay, that that's only if the person doesn't action.
Can you give an example for this?
For not doing a positive mitzvah, you don't get lashes.
A lav shem b'maisa?
Yeah.
Okay, very simple. I have chametz in my house. The taste is some psachim. I have chametz in my house. Yeah? Am I allowed to own chametz during Pesach? No. Buy your own, buy your matzah. It's a negative commandment, yeah? If I have chametz from before Pesach in my house during Pesach, so now I own chametz. Do I get malchus for that?
No.
No. Why? What did I do? If I go out and buy chametz during Pesach, then I did a lav with an action. Even then, Taisa says it's lav and nita klasei. But there's a whole discussion there. But just to give you an example of it.
You had it before Pesach and you could see it? And you didn't sell it?
What did I do? What the action did I do?
You didn't get rid of it.
What did I do?
You didn't do Bali Yeroi.
That's didn't.
Yeah, what did
you only get a law for an action, not for a lack of action.
The fact that you didn't get rid of it is an action.
No, it's not. I didn't do it. So when is that an action?
Why do we clean? That's passive. One second, why do we clean? Don't clean. I didn't go buy it on Facebook.
It's still forbidden. You don't get malchus. A lav shem by maisi, you don't get malchus, but it's a lav.
Okay.
So what happens to that lav? What's the punishment? There's
no punishment.
The inaction is an action.
Do we get lashes for not doing a positive mitzvah?
You can't see it. You can't find it. You can't see it.
Yeah, three. Because the two extra psukim that wanted to make it seven were used for something else. Once they use for something else, he can't use it to teach us this then.
You can't see and you shouldn't be finding and seeing it, and you didn't do that. You didn't get rid of it, so you could see it and you could find it. That's an action to me.
No, it didn't.
No?
It's I didn't destroy it.
Didn't.
So you should have.
But since when is that an action?
Since the fact that you had to get
if you're supposed to put on tefillin and you didn't, that's an action? Oh, you should have. That's what you're saying. You should have put on tefillin, so it's an action. You don't put on tefillin. Is that an action or not? No, it's not. You get punished. Do you get punished for not putting on tefillin?
We discussed it last week. First parak of
Megillah. I'm asking you. You don't put on tefillin. You get punished.
No.
You can only get punished for an action. No action, you don't get punished. Did you do something wrong by not putting on tefillin? Yeah, passively you did something wrong.
Not cleaning for Pesach.
Speech.
Owning chametz.
What?
Owning chametz that you owned before Pesach is a lot.
No, if you buy chametz during Pesach, that's when you get malchus. Not really, because lav nita klasei anyway. So l'cheira, this is an exception to the case. Because just from the lav of not to lie in witnesses, you wouldn't get malchus because it's not an action. So why do they get malchus if they only testified? That's an extra pasuk telling us by Adam Zayman, v'yitztikos atzadik, v'yishuos harosho, that even though it's a lav shein b'maisa, you get malchus anyway. That's the extra pasuk teaching me a law that even though there is no action, you get malchus anyway. But from the general pasuk not to testify falsely, that's no action.